In spite of this all, God has been very good to us, and we ought to remember that. Not get bogged down in just worrying about our difficulties, but remember that God is good. We're in a serious time, in my mind, a very serious time. There's needs all around us. There's needs in our own midst. There's physical needs. There's financial needs. There's spiritual needs. But the good news is that we have a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. He's a real and living God, and that's what we need to stay focused on. Our God is real. He's in control. He knows everything about what's going on. And rather than have what we're going through drive us to despair, we need to let the needs around us drive us to God's throne, to a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. Not only can we go before God for our own needs, but we're called upon to carry the needs of those around us to the throne of grace. I've taken the text tonight, just short scripture lesson tonight, from Ephesians 6 and 18. It says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our scripture says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we're encouraged to pray, to stay active in our prayers, to not neglect our prayers, to not allow ourselves to drift out of the prayer. That really, as a Christian, we ought to be living every day talking to God. We ought to have formal times of prayer. We ought to have times of prayer where we go before God and specifically ask Him for what we need. But we also ought to be able to talk to Him moment by moment, hour by hour, as we live our life and go through the day. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The second part of this verse encourages us to pray for one another. Intercessory prayers are prayers offered on behalf of someone else. It's standing in the gap between God and them. It's pleading their case before the throne. We're in a battle. It's financial. It's physical, our health. But it's mental. It's spiritual. And we need to help one another. And we're instructed to pray for one another. Another translation of that verse renders it, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. Praying for one another is one of our duties to one another. Love demands that we pray for one another, right? Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a verse that actually tells us to bear one another's burdens. What does that mean? Well, when we bear one another's burdens, a big part of that is by taking someone else's needs and concerns onto our heart, doing what we can, but most often bearing one another's burdens is bearing them in prayer before the throne. He said, this is the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Well, we know that it's to love one another. And this is partly how we obey that commandment to love one another. Praying for one another helps keep our own needs in a proper perspective. I know going through this now, we all have fears. We all wonder what the future may hold, collectively or individually. All of our specific cases have its own set of fears. Some are still out there. I thought of Sister Amy and some others that's still out in front of the public every day, dealing with them, and exposed, potentially, every day to the virus. There's others that don't know what their financial future looks like. There's others that have fears of many kinds. When we pray for others, it helps us not get too self-focused. We need to remember that other people are suffering. Other people have problems. Some of them much more than us. You know, Satan would like to keep us focused on ourselves because the focus of self is very easy to drift into selfishness. And selfishness is the heart of sin. Praying for one another also helps us grow in love for one another. In fact, it's one of the best routes I know of deepening our love for one another is to genuinely care and pray daily for one another and one another's needs. Paul was a great apostle. And as we might expect, Paul prayed for his fellow brothers and sisters. But Paul also asked them to pray for him. Philippians 1 and 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. We give thanks to God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul said he thought often of the Philippian believers, and he prayed for them pretty consistently. But then we read in a lot of Paul's letters, I just picked out a couple. But 1 Thessalonians 5:25, he said, brethren, pray for us. Hebrews 13 and 18, he says, pray for us. Not only was Paul remembering his fellow believers in prayer, but Paul coveted the prayers of his fellow believers. Only those who really know God have the privilege of openly bringing their request to God. Now, God may hear a cry of desperation from somebody that don't know Him. God may hear that cry of despair. But in the Bible, only those who really know God have been given free access to His throne. Only those in right relationship with God have been given the promise of answered prayer. In fact, God tells us God doesn't hear the prayer of a wicked. John 19 and 31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. We, as believers, having access to God's throne, can pray for those who don't know God. And we can pray for them for any need they may have. We can pray for their spiritual needs. We can pray for their financial needs. We can pray for whatever need they may have. And only those who know God can do that. But we have the privilege of approaching His throne, and we have the privilege of praying for those who don't have that privilege. Amen? We can pray for those that don't know God. Our prayer, listen to me now, this is important. Our prayer makes it morally right for God to be able to help those who don't know Him. God's promise is to those who know Him and love Him. God's promise to hear prayer is those in right relationship with Him. Amen? That don't mean God can't act, but I do know this. Our prayer opens the door for God to work in a different way with our loved ones and those who don't know Him than He could otherwise. That's why we're called on to stand in the gap, to be a hedge, to stand between God and man and plead their case. Amen? God works and moves in answer to prayer. That we know. God also uses the Holy Spirit to convince and convict men of their sinful condition. John 6 and 24 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent him, draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. We're to be working with God for the salvation of souls. For we're laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Amen? And I mention that because there is a ton of needs around us. There are people dying, people sick, people losing their jobs, all kinds of pressure, all kinds of stress and anxiety. And yet the biggest need around us is people's spiritual needs. We need to keep, no matter what you're praying, if you're praying for your loved one's job, if you're praying for their sickness, if you're praying for their anxieties, we also need to make sure we keep the spiritual needs they have in mind. Amen? We need a real love for people. And a real love for people also has a real concern about their spiritual condition and their ultimate destination. If people are spared the sickness, spared the financial hurt, yet end up lost in a lost eternity, lost in hell, have they really benefited? You know, their real need It's salvation, that we can get concerned for our loved ones and unsaved around us for a whole lot of reasons. But our biggest concern should be for their spiritual well-being. Amen? A real love for souls, a real love for those around us doesn't overlook the wrong. It's concerned about them getting real help. Now, it may be concerned about their physical needs, financial needs as well. But it's concerned about them getting real spiritual help. You know, there is a human emotional love that simply wants to relieve one's pain. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But our love for those around us should go beyond that. Our love ought to also, or maybe even primarily, be spiritually focused. To have a real view of the danger of the lost. I mean, we get concerned because some people could get the real possibility that our loved ones, neighbors, ones around us could get sick with the coronavirus and die. I mean, that's a real possibility. And it causes us concern. It ought to cause us to mitigate our actions and take appropriate actions to help prevent that. But we also ought to pause for a minute and let the danger lost souls are in sink into our thinking. Amen? We have an urgency to avoid the coronavirus. But the real truth is what ails many of our loved ones is much worse than the coronavirus. Amen? The Son of Man, Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and he'll cast them in the furnace of fire, and there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jude 1:22 says, on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. You know, we're in a serious time. Every part of our society is being shaken. Our government, our health care, our finances, every part of our society is being shaken at this time. And that can cause us to fear. But the fears you have for your loved ones, I'm concerned too. You ought to be concerned about their health and their finances. But it ought to go much deeper than that and be concerned about their salvation. Because in the long run, the only hope they have of avoiding something far worse than the coronavirus is salvation. And in that sense, salvation isn't optional. Salvation is a choice that people make, but it's not optional. Amen? The reality is that people are heading towards eternity. And if they don't know God, they're heading to a lost eternity. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other route than Jesus Christ. Romans 1:14 says, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul is saying, hey, because of what I found, I owe everybody, whether they be Greek, Jew, smart, not smart, whatever it is, learned, unlearned, he says, I owe it to them to tell them about salvation. Matthew 10:7, as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. In all this, don't get caught up in all the hoopla. You need to be concerned about your health, and I hope you're doing smart things to preserve your health, the health of those in the community around you and in your family. You need to be concerned about your finances and a lot of distress in our economy. But when you look around, when the times are shaking and we get in serious situations, we need to stay spiritually focused, both in our own life and in our thoughts and prayers for others. Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God was searching for ones to plead the case before he brought judgment on Israel. And he didn't find them. And so he brought judgment. But he said he was looking because God's preference is mercy. I want to challenge us tonight to be steady in our prayers. To not only be steady, but to really focus on our prayers. To pray with an urgency and even a frequency that maybe we haven't in other times. We're in a serious time. Be an intercessor. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Well, how do you do that? You plead their case before God. Not that they're worthy, especially those that don't know Him. You're just pleading for Him to have mercy on them, that you might have more time to work. Amen? We might have more time to see Him brought to the Lord. Pray for one another. Pray for the needs of your fellow believers. Some of them in some real anxieties. Some of them in financial problems. Before this is over, some of us are going to have health issues, no doubt, be dealing with. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray God be merciful. Amen? Make it a matter of daily commitment to pray for one another. And then pray for the unsaved. Begin with those closest to you. That's who you can affect. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for your family members. Pray for your neighbors and friends. Pray for a real awakening. Amen. Pray for God's Spirit to go to them to use this current situation to cause them to think about their soul. Pray for the current pandemic. My prayer is that God have mercy. I know the way our nation and our society is behaving. It is judgment that is called for in a sense of justice. But I continue to pray that God have mercy to give us more time to work, to see ones brought into safety. Pray for God to have mercy on the sick and suffering. Whether they know Him or not, pray God have mercy. Pray for God especially to protect our brothers and sisters. But then I challenge us, let's pray for God to send a real awakening to us and our nation. In the long run, that's the only real cure for what ails us. I don't know how it will end, but I can tell you God will bring judgment. We've seen just in a few short weeks how quickly everything we think is solid can fall apart. How quickly our economy can fall apart. How quickly our health system can fall apart. How quickly everything that we depend on except God can fall apart. God is a real and living God who has an interest in His creation. And He has warned us time and again that those who forget Him will be judged by Him. That means you and me too. In our nation and our society, this ought to be a wake-up call. Let's pray God send us a real awakening to us as His people and to our nation. Because again, long-term, that's the only real cure for what ails us. Amen? Let's be men and women of prayer. Let's use this current emergency situation. You've had some of your activities curtailed. You should have a little bit extra free time. Let's use that time to intercede before God, to pray. Start in a circle with them closest to you and work out. But let's pray for the needs around us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of being able to look into Your Word, the privilege of being able to challenge and encourage one another. I pray that You will keep Your hand of safety on us. But I pray even more that You'll help us to grow spiritually, to be awakened spiritually, and be a people You can use in our day and time. Help us, I pray, to stay focused as we move forward. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen.